Our scripture today comes from Psalm 27. Some might say rock star David, but the song, Psalm 27, is a song of David, and it's a reminder for the sermon titled, what? Chasing After. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart says of You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn from Your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me Your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. May God add His blessings to these passages as we seek Him in prayer. Join me. Father, please let these words be strong. Please let the ramblings that I have be brought together under You, Father, that they may be Your words, that they may go forth and teach us and lift us and strengthen us and give us something to think and dwell on. Lift us up through this message, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of His children said, Amen. You know, I thought it was interesting this morning. As I've said before, when I sit back here beginning at the beginning of church and listen to you all come in, I hear all kinds of sounds. I hear talking, I hear laughing, I hear giggling. And I hear the music that Anna Lee plays. And sometimes it catches me, and this morning was one of those times. And because of Anna Lee, I will be humming this song for the rest of my day. And I looked in our hymnal, and it is not there. She was playing, and if you didn't catch it, she was playing Dwelling in Beulah Land. I'm standing on the fountain, on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky, praise God. I'm drinking from the fountain that never shall run dry. And you know what happened? I heard that song, of course, it's stuck in my head. I grab our hymnal, not in there. We'll have to get a copy of that and sing that one at some point. You hear what I'm saying there, Miss Music Leader? Love that song. Don't you love that song? Say amen if you love that song.
Amen.
And I'm sitting there thinking, she's playing a song that supports the sermon title, Chasing After. Her name is Evony Williams. Anybody, E-V-O-N-I, not Ebony, Evony Williams. Anybody know who she is? She was in the news this week. She was all over the news this week. She was on all the major stations. She was in the print. She was everywhere. Anybody know who Evony Williams is? Evony Williams is chasing after the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She's 18 years old. And she received an outpouring of praise this week for a photo that was taken of her cutting up a piece of ham for an elderly man who could not do it at the Waffle House. Oh, I see heads going, oh, okay. Now you saw the ant. You saw they win the prize. Here, get some beads. You see, somebody was watching this take place from a distance. The man came in, regular customer, oxygen mask and tank, hands curled by arthritis, having a bad day. And she, without hesitation, when she set his food down, saw the situation, picked the plate up, sat it down, and cut his food up and made it ready for him, sat it back down, went back to her business. Never thought about it. And somebody took a picture. And they said, without hesitation, she took his plate and began cutting up his ham. You know, this may seem small to him, but I'm sure it was huge. I'm thankful to have seen this act of kindness and caring at the start of my day when everything else in this world seems so negative. She just thought she was doing what she was supposed to do. And now, Evony Williams, who is 18 years old, caught the attention of Texas Southern University. As a thank you for her recognition and kindness, TSU gave her a $16,000 scholarship. She's been working at the Waffle House to save up to go to college. That's it. Mayor Bobby Hawken honored her with her own day. The young employee told ABC 13 she didn't expect any of the recognition. She said, it just came from the heart. It's what you're supposed to do. And she still plans on working at the Waffle House. Now, that's not an advertisement for Waffle House, but I would say that if they have those kind of people, you ought to go to Waffle House. What is she chasing after there? Was she chasing after a scholarship? Was she chasing after recognition? Was she chasing after anything? No. She was seeking the Lord. That's what she was doing. And she didn't even realize it. She just simply saw it needed to be done. And that's the way Christians are supposed to be. We're not supposed to be seeking anything but the Lord. Do we seek rewards for our recognitions? Do you want to be known for the things you do when you do something you think is great? Say amen if you want to be put up there like that. Amen. I mean, no, I was just trying to see if I could get anybody to help me along. Everywhere we look today, we are bombarded by the world and the desires and the chasing after. The new words today that were not even words when I was young, social media. What is that really? Social media. Those are two words that should never be put together. What do they call that? An oxymoron? Like thunderous applause? Or no, thunderous silence? You can tell I never paid attention in English. Social media today, when you would think of something that could be so great, is simply put forth to push each and every person's agenda. Now, I'm not going to say that it's bad. I'm not going to go on that point. But when I watch young kids at a restaurant, anywhere, when we go to sit down and eat, and I'm talking young, some of them as young as 7 years old, flip out a phone and start, the minute the food's there, the minute they sit down, start playing on that thing so they can text and talk to their friends. I wonder what's being sent to them. What are you chasing after? Because of that, and believe me, I watch it and I live it, we are supposedly more informed than we ever have been. Supposedly. More informed. I'm on Facebook. If you know it, I'm on Facebook. Whatever. Come see me sometime. Go look at my posts on Facebook. There will be a line of posts dedicated to tractors, gas engines, motorcycles, and cooking. That's what you'll see. On occasion, I get on my soapbox, and every Sunday morning, I put together a little blurb inviting everybody to come to church on Sunday morning and tell the sermon title, but that's what you see. And so, I like it when I get on Facebook and I see these posts that say something like, "This man was caught putting fertilizer in the shakes at McDonald's. Don't go to McDonald's and drink the shakes." And everybody flips out. And there's 1,000 comments. "I'll never eat at McDonald's again." And oh, how they could let somebody do that. And then somewhere along the line, you go and check. Oh, that's a fake story. That's a lie. And yet, we chase after it. Somebody says something dumb like that, and we chase after it. So I ask you again, what are you chasing after? You want me to make it biblical? What are you seeking every day? Every day. All we've done is create chaos at times where there didn't have to be. Now, let me clarify a few things before you start rolling your eyes and say, "Oh, good grief, here he goes fussing again. Somebody must have made him mad." Let me be clear on a few simple things. I am not against you having a home, a big home if that's what you want. If you want to clean 25 rooms, go ahead. I don't. I know my wife doesn't, although we look at them big houses and she goes, "Look how big that house is. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Who's going to clean that thing?" And the conversation stops. Now, we'd like to have a big kitchen. That'd be wonderful. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a vehicle or two. That's not where I'm at. Or clothes. Or furniture. Or hobbies. Don't mistake me for one minute telling you that you shouldn't have anything. I will never do that. But when you start chasing after those things, you lose sight of what the truth is. When they become your only goal, I once again put it to you, what are you chasing after? Now, I heard this about 4 dozen times this week on the radio and on TV, and it made me laugh every time, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to lean up on the podium and go, "Let's get real now. Let's come to some realizations. Let's get real, brothers and sisters." So let's get real for a moment. You've known me now for 11 years. There is no doubt in anyone's mind that knows me the things that trip my trigger. I joke and I play a lot about my love for antique machinery, especially tractors and steam engines, and I love them. And I chase after them, but let me be clear and real serious on one thing. Very clear. They're not my life. Oh, I love them. Yesterday we were working on something in the yard. My uncle came over and we were trying to get something going. And we needed to pull it to see if it would move. And I said, "Well, let me go get the truck." He goes, "Well, why don't you get one of them tractors?" Well, boy, that's a great idea. Why did I think about that? And I ran over and grabbed one of the tractors that hadn't been running in 3 months. And it's a hand start, John Deere B. I walked through that thing. I said, and blah, 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 thing was running, and I just got tears going down my face. I love it. Live for it. Well, let me be clear on one thing. All of that is a distant second to what I have in Jesus Christ. All of that is a distant second to my burning desire to get people to know Jesus Christ. It would all go in a minute if I was asked to for a reason. Because I can get more stuff. I can get more things. I can get more clothes. I can get all that stuff because the Lord will provide for me. Amen. Amen. What I cannot get is back a chance to show someone Jesus Christ that does not know Him. That is what we are to be chasing after. Jesus Christ. Amen goes right there. And we lose sight of that because we get caught up in the world. I don't know how to explain that part. And there's no way to stop it. Not that I know of. I'll tell you how to stop it. Turn your phones off, turn your TV off, turn your radio off, turn your brain off. And even then, you won't be able to get away from it. And that's not what Jesus Christ did. Did he walk around the outside of the town and handpick people to come to him? Nope. Did he stop right before he came into town with his disciples and say, "All right, look, I don't really like this place. Last time I was in here, they run me out of town. So let's just go around the outside of it and forget these poor people." Did he do that? No. He walked right into the center of it, lived among it, was among it, lived and felt it, so that when you would come to him, he would be able to love you on your level. There is no man ever before or ever since. And I don't want to hear nothing about Buddha or any Hindu god or the prophet Muhammad. There has been no one else ever other than Jesus Christ capable of saving us. Hallelujah. That's what we're chasing after. I mean it. I want everyone to know Jesus. And truthfully, I want everyone to come here on Sunday morning not to listen to me. I have fun doing what I do. I enjoy being a pastor. I enjoy getting up to do this. But I don't want you to come listen to me. I want you to come here to get some of this. Huh? What's that, Paul? Everybody go, this. All right, we're going to try this on three. We're going to say the word, "get this," on the count of three. One, two, three.
Yes.
You know what this is?
Jesus.
The Spirit, Jesus, love, the feeling. I want people to come in here on Sunday morning and get this. I want them to get this feeling. Because this feeling winds me up tight when I come in. There's something about coming into God's house with God's people, seeking him, chasing after him on a Sunday morning, as David has written, that makes me want to meet him in his tabernacle. And that's what this is. It ain't my house. It ain't your house. It's his house. And that's where we need to be. And we need to chase after him. This fullness, this feeling, is the reward. Not accolades. I don't care if I ever become a televangelist. I will be one day. No. I just want to do what he's told me to do. Open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 11. Go down to the 31st verse. I'll give you a minute to get that. This is Moses' favorite book, right? That's how he makes coffee. He brews it.
Chapter 11, what?
Chapter 11, verse 31. Chasing after. The Hebrew writer anonymously writes these words. Verse 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. You know what the promise was? The return of Jesus Christ. The salvation of everything. They didn't get to see it, yet they chased after it just the same. Why? Because of faith. Because they knew that was the right thing to do. Because they wanted to reach out above them. They didn't care about the accolades. They didn't do that. They wanted to make sure that the faith, that the strength, that the feeling, that the want, that the desire, that people would come to know Jesus Christ as King of the world, King of all times, the only Messiah, would be proclaimed until He returns. Amen. That's what they chased after. See, I believe we sometimes chase after the reward and not the result. Sometimes we do things to get the reward. That's okay, as long as the reward does not become the driver in your desires. When you start doing what you do so that people will look at you and you will feel better because people say you're great, and you've lost sight of what you're chasing after. If for the rest of my life I preach at this pulpit and we never see the church get filled except on occasion, and I get to reach a soul every now and then, I will have considered myself blessed. Blessed! Because I don't know. I don't know who's going to walk in here on a Sunday morning as a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, hear some word 3 weeks later, be thinking about something, and find their way to Jesus Christ. You know where I'm going to see that reward? I'm going to see that reward in heaven. Amen. And that's when things are going to start to get serious. We are going to be welcomed in. Come in here. Come in, well done, good and faithful servant. Come in here. Let me put my arms around you. Your work is over. I know you're tired. Oftentimes, we see what the reward is and we fail to capture it because it's right in front of us. We must seek it correctly. Son, my father replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. You see, when I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my beauty and love for song. A professional tenor in my hometown took me in as a pupil, and I went on to enroll in a teacher's college because I wanted to teach. And upon graduating, I asked my father, "Shall I be a teacher? Or shall I be a singer?" And my father said, "Son, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair." So I chose one. It took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance as a singer. It was another 7 years to reach what I considered the pinnacle, a metropolitan opera. And now, whether laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it, commit to it. That's the key. Choose one chair, chase after it correctly. Or the words of Luciano Pavarotti. Go back to the scripture for a moment. David is writing a very powerful set of words. You know, when we get down into the 20s in the psalm, we automatically go right to Psalm 23, don't we? Everybody's like, "Oh yeah, I know that one." And we can do that thing, boy, from memory. And, you know, one of these times I'm going to do a sermon on it, because I think we don't study it. But you go up just a couple clicks into 27 and you see David writing again, only this time he's writing from a more personal note. He's writing something that's finite and directed and remindful and intense. He starts it off, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" You know what? That is about the coolest bumper sticker that you should ever have. Because you can walk around like this. I got the Lord. He saved me. I ain't scared of nothing. Except my wife when I forget to do what she tells me to do. He starts it off by saying, what do we have to fear if we're seeking Him? If we are setting our focus laser pointed on Him, if we are chasing after Him, we ain't got nothing to fear. He's already paid the price. Come down with me just a little bit. Verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. Chase after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Boom, stop. Right there. That's it. You can read the rest of it. We'll touch a few key points on it. But if you just hold that verse right there like that. This is what I chase after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And do you know what he's saying right there? He's not just talking about heaven, brothers and sisters. He's talking about right here on this mud ball we call earth. That I may dwell in the house you have built for all of my life until you call me home. As I seek you, I will find you. I will tell other people about you and they will grow and the word will become stronger every minute. Hallelujah. He goes down a little further. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high on the rock. Anna Lee, I'll be standing on a mountain underneath a cloudless sky. I'll be drinking from the fountain that never shall run dry. You played that song this morning. See what you did to me? And he goes just a little further. He says, down in verse 8, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. In 1972, Flight 401 was bound for Miami from New York City with a load of holiday passengers. And as the big aircraft approached the Miami airport, the light that indicates proper deployment of the landing gear failed to come on. The plane flew in a large circle, looping over the swamps of the Everglades, while the cockpit crew checked out the light failure. Their question was this: had the landing gear come down, or was the ball bad? A flight engineer began fiddling with it and couldn't get it out. It wouldn't budge, and another member of the crew, and then another and another. And if you can believe it, all eyes were on the little light bulb that refused to be dislodged from its socket. No one noticed that the airplane's automatic pilot was not turned on and was losing altitude. Flight 401 in 1972 crashed in the Florida swamp. An experienced crew, high-priced, seasoned pilots messing around with a 75-cent light bulb. They forgot the basic rules. Don't forget to fly the airplane. The same thing happens at churches, in souls, in hearts, when you forget what you're chasing after. When you become distracted, when you become lost by the things around this world that it says you must seek, what are you chasing after? David's writing it. The Hebrew writers echoes it. All these people continued to work. No matter what happened to them, they continued to work for the good of the Lord, for the promise that they would not see. One day I'm leaving this earth. We all are. It could be in the next 5 minutes. It could be today. Today, while we're sitting down for our Sunday lunch, the trumpet blows, And we're out of here. Or today, you could be called home. I don't live here for the promise of fame and fortune. We don't live here for the promise of things that we may never see. We live here for the promise of one thing and one thing only. The promise that Jesus Christ gave to us when He died on that tree. In 3 weeks we will remember it. We're going to start remembering it now. In 3 weeks we will remember that promise that He left us with. I don't promise you anything except that I'll be waiting for you when you're done chasing. When you come home, I'll be there. And guess what, brothers and sisters? Because you have professed your belief in me, I have a home for you. Amen. That's what I'm chasing after. That's it. It is drawing down, and it's just a little ways off. We have to think of the man, Jesus, who was born on earth from God given to us Himself. Do you understand what we celebrate? Do you think about it on the most basic, basic terms? That Jesus Christ in heaven subjected Himself to come back and be born of the Virgin Mary. To grow up on this earth. To walk and feel sickness and pain and heartbreak. We think of Jesus who walked this earth, whom chased after every soul that would listen to Him and come to Him. And 2,000 years ago, He died. He died so that in 1938... In 1944, 1955, 1967, 1958, 1985, 2003, 1999, 2009. I don't know what year you were born. He died so that the moment you were born onto this earth, you would have someone to take you all the way through to home. He was there. He is there. He died for you to be saved. Willingly, without thought of Himself, without hesitation, broken, destroyed for us. We need to be chasing after that. Right? Amen? Amen. It may never give us anything. A businessman well known for his ruthlessness, ruthless for being a bad dude, Henry, he once announced to the writer, Mark Twain, he said, "Before I die, I am going to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud from the top of the mountain." I got a better idea, said Mark Twain. "You could just stay here in Boston and keep them. Let it roll through your head for a minute. We don't need to stand on a mountain. We don't need to chase after. We need to be prepared at any moment. We need to seek Him first." Pastor Rick Warren tells a story, and I think I've shared it with you before, of his father. If you went through the purpose-driven 40 days, whatever it was, he tells a story of his dad. As his dad was dying, his earthly race was all but run. And he was sitting there in a chair next to him, and suddenly his dad became agitated, trying to get up, and started saying, "Just one more, just one more, just one more." And he went over and he tried to quiet him down. He said, "Settle down, just one more, just one more." And he couldn't get him settled down. And finally, he got him to slow down a little bit. And he asked him, what father, what dad? Just one more what? And his dad said, "Just one more soul. I got to reach just one more soul before I go." Shortly thereafter, he left. We need to be chasing after the here and now. We need to be chasing after Jesus. We need to be there to keep that light burning for our family. Because all of y'all in this room have family that do not know the Lord or have drifted away. We need to be there for our friends. Regardless of whether they're Christian, regardless of how much they cuss, regardless of what they do against us, we need to be there for them. We need to keep the light going. We need to chase after Jesus for them. We need to do it for our co-workers. The person that sits next to you that irritates you. We need to do it for all those around us. And guess what is best of all? When that work is done, when we are done, we get a big reward. Not here. When we are done, we are with Him. Brothers and sisters, I expect to see you chasing after Jesus. May God have peace with each and every one of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ain't going to climb no mountain. We ain't going to get on no podium in front of 15,000 people. We ain't going to get on broadcast networks. We're just going to simply talk to the next person about Jesus Christ so that we stay on the path towards you. We don't care about a big reward. We don't care about anything here on this earth. You give us much houses and clothes and furniture and coverings and safety and protection and ways to get around, and we are blessed so richly in so many ways that we don't need to chase after them worldly things. You bring them to us when we need them, when you feel we deserve them. No, 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 no. We need to chase after you and keep the light burning. Because there are many out there that do not know Jesus Christ, and they are an arm's length away. Strengthen us for the work we have yet to do, and remind us the things we lay up are not for here. We treasure you, Father. We treasure your Son, Jesus. We treasure the work that He tasks us with. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you ain't right with the Lord, if you don't know Him, if you need strengthening, if you haven't accepted Him yet, right here is the day. I'm here. I can show you the way to the foot of the cross, and I'll walk right along with you, and so will everybody else. As we sing this last hymn, if you need that, you can come up here and leave it by yourself, or you can come up here and get somebody with you, or you can come up here and look at me. But if you have not accepted Him yet, today's the day. May God bless each and every one of you.